The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on December 28, 1995 at New Govardhan Farm in Moorwillumbah, Australia. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 9, Verse 45.
Mayi kanta mati nanyam Mato vanchati tattvavet Kingdurapam mayi prite Tathati vibhudhashava Mayi kanta mati nanyam Matto manchati tattvavet. O best of the intelligent demigods, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain when I am pleased with him, a pure devotee whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. O best of the intelligent demigods, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain when I am pleased with him, a pure devotee whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When the demigods finished offering their prayers, they anxiously waited for their enemy Vritrasura to be killed. This means that the demigods are not pure devotees. Although without difficulty one can get anything he desires if the Lord is pleased, the demigods aspire for material profit by pleasing the Lord. The Lord wanted the demigods to pray for unalloyed devotional service, but instead they prayed for an opportunity to kill their enemy. This is the difference between a pure devotee and a devotee on the material platform. Indirectly, the Lord regretted that the demigods did not ask for pure devotional service. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th chapter, 9th, 6th canto, 9th chapter, and 48th verse. In the matter of the appearance of the demon Vritrasura. Om Tat Sat. So the devas had offered their prayers to the Lord, and the Lord has granted them His blessings. So they could ask the Lord for anything at that opportunity. But in fact, they were able to see the Lord surrounded by His 16 personal attendants, decorated with ornaments. The devas saw the Supreme Lord in that posture, and they fell down and offered their obeisances and offered the prayers. But ultimately, what they were asked for was that Vritrasura could be eliminated by the Lord. Vritrasura was so powerful that he could not be killed by the devas. So when they had no other hope, they went to the Lord, and the Lord appeared to them, being satisfied with their devotional service. But instead of asking for pure devotion or love for Krishna, they asked to get rid of their enemy after offering many beautiful praises of the Lord. So here in this verse, the Lord is saying It's true that nothing is difficult to achieve for someone who has pleased me. It's kind of correcting, because before he had said, your pure devotees, they're under your shelter, they can achieve anything. He says, but actually they don't want anything else but to serve me. They don't ask for anything else but to serve in pure devotional service. Similar situation happens often on the devas get put into difficulty and they have nobody to turn to but the Lord. In one way, it keeps them in their place, so to speak. Keeps them aware of their limitations and helps to remind them to surrender to Krishna. There was a demon, Shankarsura, who had a boon from Brahma, that he was in the. By that boon, he could not be killed by the devas. So he was looking for the devas to kill them. So they were all hiding in the middle of the Mount Meru, couldn't be discovered by the demon. And the demon decided that he would destroy the devas by taking the personified Vedas and destroying them. So that way when Vedic knowledge would be finished, and his theory was that the devas would be finished. Pretty good plan. Yeah, demons are very creative. So he went up to Brahma Loka, but meanwhile the personified Vedas got wind that Shankarsura was out to get them. So he just, as soon as he got there, he saw them escaping. And he went chasing after them. But they went into the ocean. And actually they dissolved themselves in the water. So by being dissolved in the water, couldn't be found. But Shankarsura, he didn't know, he just saw them go in the water and then he followed them in the ocean. He was looking everywhere, all over the ocean, trying to find them. So while he was looking for them, then the devas, they said, this is our chance. And they went out and went by the side of the milk ocean in order to call, to ask Vishnu for his help. But Vishnu was in yoga nidra at that time. And nobody wanted to just wake him up because that he might not be pleased. So they thought, what could we do that would please the Lord most of all? Someone said that he's most pleased when you chant his holy names. So they all began to chant Indra, Vayu, Surya, Agni Dev, and all the different devas. They had a big kirtan, Kartals, Madrangas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that kirtan went on, and the sound of the transcendental names, they reached Lord Vishnu, and he woke up from his yoga nidra. And he was very, very happy to see all the devas chanting his holy names. Actually, Vishnu, most of all, is happy when someone is just serving him, especially in pure devotion. But even they were just chanting Hare Krishna, even they had some other motive to awaken him. But even then, he was very pleased. He said, this is the happiest time. This is the happiest day for me. To see all of the devas chanting. So on this day, if anybody chants the holy name, I will give them very easily my special mercy so they can come to me, they can have pure devotion. You know what day that was? Ekadasi. It was the Ekadasi Tithi. So since that was one of the reasons why chanting the names of Krishna and Ekadasi brings so many multiple effects. So the Lord is pleased, then everything can be achieved. Well, the pure devotees, of course, they just want his pure devotion. So the devas, once they had the attention of Lord Vishnu, and then he asked them what is it they would like, they had again the opportunity to get his pure love. But instead they said, my dear Lord, we're being harassed by this Shankarsura. If you could kindly save us. So they get the opportunity now and again to ask for the highest benediction, but they often fail to do so. But the Lord is very merciful. So then said, all right, if that's what you want, have Kasyapa hold water in his hand. And then Kasyapa held his hand cupped with water, Kasyapa Muni, and little microscopic fish appeared in there, like a little, just you could barely see it. But gradually it was getting bigger and bigger and filled up his whole hand. And there was no room in it. I mean, it was getting bigger, and he put it into a little well. But it got bigger than the well. They took it out of the well, put it in a lake, and it got bigger than the lake. Then finally they put it in the ocean. It got bigger and bigger and bigger. When Sankarasura saw this gigantic transcendental form of Matsya Avatar, and naturally, immediately he was attracted to that form. Of course, the demons, they're attracted in another way. He was attracted at all. Here's someone I can fight with and kill. This must be a deva or something. Well, Krishna reciprocates with everyone, and so the demon came to kill him, so then the demon was killed by the Lord. Matsya Avatar, in his different incarnations, he saves the Vedas. So he took the Vedas that this particular incarnation had dissolved in the water. He took them out from the water and gave them back to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma, in turn, handed them to different rishis to be responsible for the different parts of Vedic knowledge. And in this way, the order in the universe was established again. So the Lord, he does. That was in the Padma Purana, it was mentioned. We were looking at the glories of the Kadasi, and it just seemed here to fit that how the devas, when they get put in this difficulty, and sometimes they are successful in getting out of it, and then sometimes that time they should really feel grateful, because it's only by Krishna's mercy that the devas can do anything, or anyone can do anything. But in case they're not able to get out of it, and they actually have to personally come to the Lord and ask for his help, well, that's another opportunity for them. Really here, we see that apart from telling us what the position of the devas are in relation to the Lord, the most important thing here is the glorification of the pure devotees, whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me. And that pure devotee does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. The devotional service is itself the highest benediction. To actually be able to serve the Lord through his devotees, serve the Lord, is the perfection. But most people in the material world who are devotees of God, they worship God in order to achieve something else. They're reading about how some of the Christians, they have half-night prayer meetings to pray for people who have some disease or some personal problem to overcome their problems. Or pray to the Lord to have someone be freed from a demon or whatever. So they're regularly approaching the Lord, but they're asking for some mundane purpose. Actually, devotional service, the idea that we can just serve the Lord for his pleasure, is a mystery for most people. Even for the great devas, they're not, except for the pure devotees, they're not able to fix their mind on pure devotional service. It is so rare in the universe. And we are so fortunate that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us this love for Krishna freely. I mean, if someone pleases the Lord, they can't achieve anything. Lord Chaitanya said that in order for us to please the Lord, we need to please his devotees. His pure devotee, the spiritual master, the Tulasi, the Mother Ganges, the Holy Dham, the Bhagavatam. By respecting the things which are connected to the Lord, one is able to please the Lord. Because as I mentioned in our seminar, after the recent flood we had in Mayapur, it's hard to forget about the Ganges and about the whole implication of the flooding. Lord Chaitanya said that when the Holy Dham of Mayapur floods, then the whole world should be flooded with love for Krishna. It's an indication. Prabhupada revealed that. So when we were flooded there in Mayapur, then we were looking up some of the glories of the Ganges and the Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavatam. We found that how the Ganges has a very personal relationship with Lord Chaitanya. The Jamuna is also combined with the Ganges in Mayapur. It's from Allahabad. And in Mayapur, they're combined. And there was a pastime mentioned. One devotee was, one sage, was meditating on the Ganges, saying his Gayatri with the, in the water up to his chest. And all of a sudden, the Ganges water started rising up and coming right up, practically covering his face, and then going down and coming up and going down. He said, "What is going on here? Why is the water suddenly rising and falling like this?" And he looked and he saw there was a golden boy running alongside the Ganges. And sometimes he'd go a little further from the Ganges and the Ganges water would come up, trying to keep on touching those lotus golden feet. He'd go into the Ganges and the water would go down, he'd go up, and this way the level was coming. And when he went so much out of the water, suddenly, the sage saw his worshipable deity, the Ganges personified, come out of the water and offer her obeisances to that boy. Immediately, he jumped out of the water and ran, "What is this?" And from a respectable distance, he was watching, "What is going on?" And he saw the Mother Ganges offering prayers of respect, of obeisance to the boy, that, "My master, please have your mercy on me that I can always serve you in pure devotion." And then she went back into the water and disappeared. She knew that she would never offer obeisances like that to anyone but Lord Vishnu. He went and offered his obeisances and prayed to the Lord. And because the Lord was pleased with him for his worship of the Ganges and his prayers, that devotee requested, "Please reveal to me who you are." So Lord Chaitanya revealed he was Krishna to that sage and told him that, "I have incarnated now in order to have my pastimes as a devotee. If you like to watch them or participate, you're welcome. But don't tell anyone about this, what you know today, until I leave. If you tell anyone, there will be a disturbance of my pastimes and I will have to remove you from this world early." So actually, the Ganges is so purifying that even if somebody is carrying bones to put in the Ganges, and on the way they die, so they go back to Godhead along with the bones of the person of whose bones or ashes they're carrying. So if somebody ever asks you to take ashes of the Ganges, it's probably the most safest service you could ever do. Even if your airplane crashes, you can get back to Krishna. So many glories of the Ganges. Even the breeze coming from the Ganges is purifying, just to remember the Ganges. Even if you're in a distant place, if you just say the name of Ganga! What name?
Ganga!
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 Those two syllables, Ganga, it's immediately you get purified, like taking a bath, and so many contaminations are washed away. Of course, you can also chant the holy names of Lord Chaitanya, which bring love for Krishna. Gauranga!
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 Nitananda!
Nitananda!
And if the Lord is pleased, then he can give. So what is the most important thing one can get? And when we were reading about the glories of the Ganges, we found another interesting pastime about a devotee called Dharmaswa. You know this pastime? The Dharmaswa pastime? Dharmaswa, he was going to the Ganges and worshipping her as the Charanamrita of the Lord Vishnu, as the sacred devotee of the Lord. And he was offering arti and then bathing in the water. And he took a little water pot of water and took it with him back home. On the way, in that particular kingdom, there was a Brahma Bandhu who was very sinful by nature. And although he was born in a Brahmin family and was posing as a Brahmana, he was a rascal number one. He was a thief and a criminal. But he had a high position in the government. She's not you know, quite a moment, I guess. And there was a bull lying on the road. Since I don't have much time, I have to tell this one quick. There was a bull lying on the road, and he was envious. The whitest bull is lying in the road, blocking the way. He picked up a big stick and started beating the bull. And the bull was really not bothering anybody. He could have walked around the bull. And although the bull looked pretty docile, but once he started beating the bull with a stick, he changed his mode. Came for, I don't know exactly what sound charging bulls make, but he made it. And he went and he gored that Brahma Bandha, whose name was Kala Kalpa. Kala Kalpa got bored by the bull right in the heart and just opened up his chest, and it was a direct hit to the heart, instant death. As soon as he died, Yamadutas was like, "All right, boys, come and get him." They went out, it was like a fire drill. I mean, they went thousands. They were waiting for this one for a long time. They went in a huge, in hordes. It was like one of the major exoduses of Yamadutas in the universe came to get Kala Kalpa. But when they reached there, they were really frustrated when they saw Kala Kalpa's soul possessed by the four, I mean, taken in the hands of the Vishnudutas. I forgot to tell you what happened. Something happened in between. The Yamadutas, while they were on the way, meanwhile, Dharmasa was walking along the road. There was a little detail missing there. And he saw the dead body of that appeared to be a Brahmana, blood everywhere. He took some of the Ganges water from his pot and sprinkled it over the body. He had tulsi on his ear, took the tulsi prasad, sprinkled the Ganga water, and he walked on. So then the Yamadutas reached, already taken. They found that the Vishnudutas were already there. And they said, "What are you doing here? This is a sinner." And they said, "No, but he had Ganges water sprinkled on him. He's purified." "Purified? What do you mean, this sinner? He was a robber, a cheat. He had a guest come over at his house, and when the guest was sleeping, he murdered him and cut his body in little pieces and buried it and took all his money. He would get widows pregnant and have them have abortions and a whole list. You look at this person. He belongs to us. He belongs in hell." And, what happened was, see, Dharmaswa, he was walking along. And he saw a whole bunch of Yamadutas completely cut out and broken and bleeding, with arms missing and legs missing, and some carrying other wounded Yamadutas. And he said, "What happened to you?" You know, one Yamaduta was coming by. And he was telling this whole story. "Well, we went to get Kala Kalpa, and we had this discussion. We found the Vishnudutas were there. We had the discussion, and we were claiming him. And we said all the sins he did and everything." But then the Vishnudutta said, "Well, that's true, everything you said, but the real thing is that he was sprinkled with the Ganges water, and the Vishnu's lotus foot dust in the Ganges can wipe out so many sins that all those sins are gone." "So what? Just by a little Ganges water, all the sins are gone? Come on, we're taking him." And the Yamadutas are coming forward. They're going to take him by force in the Vishnudutas. And the Vishnudutta said that, "You are so offensive. You are doubting the Ganges. You are not understanding the glory of the Ganges, how the potency of the Lord's feet does, and the holy Ganges can purify the sins. I mean, you're offending the Ganges. You're offending the Lord, and you're coming to us as if you're going to attack us? Chakra!" And Sudarshan Chakra, or their personal chakras, wherever they came, and just started chopping up Yamadutas and making mints out of heads, feet. And it was a massacre. It was, in the history of Yamaloka, it will never be forgotten. Or the universe. There were Yamadutas everywhere, wounded, killed. And so they fled from that place. And the Yamaduta told Dharmasa, we made a very, very big offense, and we really blew it. And we're suffering for our offense. And Dharmasa just stopped where he was, and he said, my goodness, I just bring a little Ganges water and a dead body, and all this thing happened. And he immediately went back to the Ganges and started offering obeisances. Like, I've just taken the Ganges for granted. I just thought it was, holy river. But the Ganges is so potent and so merciful. And then he offered arati and prayers, and he composed beautiful prayers to the Ganges. And the personified Ganges appeared to him on her crocodile carrier, Bahan, carrying her lotus and conch and her, she's beautiful moon color, white garments, and said, you have pleased me to tell me what you would like. And he said, all I want is to be able to have pure devotion for Lord Krishna, and that when I leave my body, I can be chanting the holy names in your water. That's all I'm asking. So, she, Tatastaha, gave him that blessing, and she went back into her water, disappeared from sight. So here was another situation where a devotee got a darshan, maybe not a Vishnu, in this case it was of the Ganges. And he only asked for pure devotion, only asked to be able to chant the holy names of the Lord, to be touching the Ganges. Didn't ask for any mundane thing. So there's a difference between a pure devotee who asks only for the spiritual blessing of devotional service and such devotional gifts, where the Sakam devotee, like the Devas, they have the other mundane concerns that they are preoccupied with. So this verse tells us Vishnu himself is saying that the pure devotees, they only ask for pure devotion. Of course, if a pure devotee is in difficulty, then the Lord himself, he promises, Name bhakta pranashati, my devotee won't perish. So he will protect his devotee one way or another. So this is opportunity that Lord Chaitanya has given us, even though we are maybe born in Kali Yuga and different backgrounds all over the world. We have the opportunity to hold on to the lotus feet of the Lord, to chant His holy name. Even Prabhupada gave us heaven to bathe in the Ganges, or to read the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, which are coming from the lotus lips of the Lord and His pure devotees. And to associate with the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, which is flooding the world with the love of Krishna. So the greatest benediction is simply to be able to serve the Lord in pure devotion. And Prabhupada is given that opportunity. And Prabhupada said that even if we can do a little service, the Lord will be very pleased. But of course Prabhupada wanted us to do some very big services, like build Mayapur, distribute so many millions of books, and do so many services, which appear big to our present perspective, although for the Devas it might not be big. And Prabhupada said that if you please the previous acharyas, I think he told even to Tamar Krishna Maharaj, said if you build a 30-story building in Mayapur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would take you back to Godhead, hand in hand or something. Open invitation to everyone. So we can please the Lord, please His pure devotees, and we can get the special blessing of the Lord to have pure love for Him. This is our greatest hope, by pleasing Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, that we can have the pure love for Krishna. Of course, you can get anything else from the Lord, but when you can have that most wonderful of all benediction, why would you want anything less? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have 4 minutes for a question. Somebody has to, don't ask me a long question. Yes?
The demigods are engaged in the last 30 souls.
It's not wrong, but it's not pure devotion. It's not wrong. It's not an offense or something. But it's not pure devotion. It's not transcendental. Their focus is on their body. They're devas. They have a material body as a deva. We have material bodies as human beings. Devas' bodies are much better equipped than human bodies. They live millions of years and so on. They have mystic powers. But still, in spite of that, they have their limitations. And sometimes when they reach some insurmountable problem, they get preoccupied with that. So they have a separate interest. The whole point is that they have, as mentioned in the third canto Bhagavatam by Kapila Dev, that you have some devotees who have a desire for liberation. Some have desire for some material benefit, or someone has a desire for getting back at enemies. So whether it's in goodness, passion, or ignorance, but all of them have a separatist mentality from the Lord. Their motives are not in total harmony with Krishna. But the pure devotee is in total harmony. He wants what the Lord wants. That's why sometimes our guru is sick. We may pray to the Lord, if it please you, please see that our spiritual master's health is whatever. He may recover from this illness or something like that. But we add, if it please you. If ultimately we want to do what the Lord pleases, if it's all equal to the Lord, we'd like to have our spiritual master with us, and we may pray like that. We don't just pray, give me this. But because we want to always do what's pleasing to the Lord. That's something enough spiritually related. Even then we ask, if it so please you. Even the devotees are praying for the protection of the temple. They would pray if it pleased the Lord. That means that we accept that ultimately whatever the Lord does, it's good. But the devas, they wanted to be sure that they got rid of this demon. That was, you know, the bottom line. It wasn't, please, if it please you, please get rid of the demon. Otherwise, you know, we don't mind. They're attached to that position of being a deva, of having that particular service as a deva. Just a different perspective. It's a question of where their attachment is. They're great devotees. We cannot disrespect them. We have to always respect them. Sometimes devotees criticize the devas, and that's the worst thing to do. And nectar of devotion and says you should never be disrespected. They are great devotees, but there's a slight differentiation that they do have some mundane motive which is separate from the pure devotional interest. Therefore, a pure devotee is even worshipable by the devas, even respectable for them, because a pure devotee is in harmony with Krishna totally. We are trying to cultivate pure devotional service by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavat ki, Hitai Gaur Premanam.